Welcome back to a special edition of Prostate Cancer Update.
So I'm going to introduce now Dr. Klotz, who's going to take us through the advanced stages of prostate cancer and the role of hormonal therapies.
Thanks, Anthony. Well, I'm going to briefly run through some issues in hormonal therapy, combined androgen blockade, intermittent therapy, and bicalutamide monotherapy. So first, the story of combined androgen blockade, and I'm just going to drill into this issue in a little more depth than Dan did. This is the initial publication by Fernand Labrie, 1979, and very pugilistic individual, and said to the community, you guys don't know how to treat this disease. He's an endocrinologist. You have to block adrenal androgens. If you do, the patients are cured. There are no deaths from prostate cancer. If you don't, the patients die. And so this led to an unprecedented amount of clinical trials activity, about 28 randomized trials in all. And in interpreting this data, you've got to remember this emerged at kind of the beginning of the era of randomized trials in our field. And there was a lack of familiarity with some of the fundamental issues in trial interpretation. This is the original leuprolide daily plus or minus flutamide, 25% survival benefit. In retrospect, it's because almost certainly there was poor compliance with the daily leuprolide, and under those circumstances, the antiandrogen is much more important. And then this led to the confirmatory trial of orchidectomy plus or minus flutamide. I just want to emphasize this trial was sized to detect the 25% difference seen in the initial Crawford trial. And this trial actually showed a trend to a benefit in the flutamide arm compared to placebo, but it didn't achieve significance. But almost certainly this trial was underpowered, because to show a 10% benefit, which is probably, based on the meta-analysis, the size of the benefit that occurs, you need at least 2,000 to 3,000 patients. That was a 1,200-patient study. So you can speculate that if it was properly sized for the benefit that we now think accrues with combined therapy with flutamide, it might have been positive. And then this is the results. If you separate out the non-steroidal antiandrogens, you actually get very consistently an 8% reduction in prostate cancer mortality, which achieves clinical significance. This is the flutamide orchidectomy trial. They're all in here. So a modest survival benefit, I wouldn't disagree with Dan. This is a forest plot of all the meta-analyses that I published a few years ago, and you can see there's a very consistent pattern of benefit, different meta-analyses sifting through this data in different ways. Now, those were mostly metastatic prostate cancer patients, the pre-PSA era. There's an outstanding publication by Friedland just recently that looks at the PSA doubling time and Gleason grade post-radical prostatectomy, and this is the update of the pound data. 5,000 radical prostatectomies performed at Hopkins. And you can see that there are patients who have biochemical failure whose natural history looks very similar to that of metastatic disease. So, for example, if you have Gleason score of 8 or greater and a PSA doubling time less than 3 months, you have a 50% five-year disease-free survival, really identical to what you'd expect with metastatic disease. And I think this data is starting to make this issue. In fact, Anthony D'Amico just commented on the patient whose PSA is rising extremely rapidly with no evidence of metastatic disease. That patient has metastatic disease, and he behaves, based on this data, exactly like a patient who has metastatic disease. So I think this allows us now to take the rising PSA patient with a very short doubling time and apply the lessons that have been learned about metastatic prostate cancer to this patient.